Hello and welcome to the All 32 podcast. Who are we? We're just a bunch of regular NFL fans from across the UK who want to help create a new community of NFL fans and encourage and teach new fans about the game we love. We're primarily a blog full of written content by your fan, by the fan, because the fan knows best. This week I'm joined by Christian McCaffrey, tattoo enthusiast Rob, the Oracle of Knowledge Sean, and the graphics whiz Lee. Rob, do you want to tell any of our listeners anything extra about yourself?
No, I just primarily want to say thank you to everyone that listened last week. Keep firing articles across to the All 32 website. We are going to be discussing them more and more. Thank you to the guys that tweeted me, absolutely ripping me to bits about my tattoo. I really appreciate it, but I'm still yet to get a tweet off Christian McCaffrey, and that's my aim.
It's a good aim to have. Talking of aims, Sean, you write about the aims of teams every week in your preview. What are your aims for today?
My aims for today are, let's get another excellent podcast out there. Agree with what Rob said there. Thanks to everyone for the feedback for last week. This is your podcast. We want to talk about the things that you want to bring up and the articles that you submit to our website. So we've certainly got a couple of good ones to talk about today. We'll get to the game previews, but obviously as a Browns fan, thrilled to be on a winning streak. Not quite sure I know how exactly to feel about it, because it's been such a long time coming. But we will certainly ride this wave whilst it's going. So looking forward to the next half an hour or so.
I would nicely join on about winning streaks to Lee, but unfortunately the Dolphins are not on one. Lee?
Yep, still suffering as a Dolphins fan.
Is there anything
fan
you want to fight back with that? Or
no. Probably a good job to do this podcast on a Thursday, where things are a little bit more positive as we look towards next week rather than back at last week. But yeah, just echo what the guys say, that the feedback has been great so far. I'm just hoping that we can keep pumping out some impressive podcasts.
That is brilliant. And I hope that the Dolphins will improve soon. It can't get much worse, can it?
No, it can't get too much worse. It's so close. That's the problem.
So close yet so far.
That's right. Every time I look at it, there's still a hope of the playoffs. I still cling to hope.
It's the problem for about 16 teams in the league at the moment.
Try being a Panthers fan. We rely on somebody that just kicks a ball and he lets us down week in and week out. That is it.
We may have to hold our own tryouts. We'll send a kicker over.
I've emailed my CV over to the Panthers. I reckon I could nail that.
You could then finally show McCaffrey your tattoo.
I think I'd get kicked out, or a restraining order, or something along those lines.
At least you wouldn't have to feed your kids the notes anymore, though.
Exactly. See, we learn things every day.
We digress. We are now going to move on to our first segment. It's called On the Clock.
On the clock.
Boom, right, I'm up first game on the clock, the Ravens at the Falcons. Personally, I think this might be quite an underrated game, but will turn out to be an absolute belter of a game. Ravens seem to have taken down the Raiders, Bengals in recent weeks, teams which are doing sort of all right, skip over the Raiders to be honest. I want them to win primarily because if Jackson can get this third win, it will end the QB shuffle over there. I think the guy's an absolute baller, and as I've said in previous podcasts, I think Flacco does need to just calm down and sit down now. He can start to mould the team how he wants, them receivers and everything. I'm not a fan of the Falcons, purely because I'm a Panthers fan, but in truth, they're not doing well at all at the minute. They're pounding to the Saints, set them off on a three-game losing streak. They don't look to be coming out of it anytime soon. Next one, I think it's Browns and Texans. Sean, fire away.
Cheers, Rob. So, as I've alluded to, two teams coming into this on winning streaks. Browns winners of two in a row. And to be fair, I think this will go down as a superb rookie class. Mayfield, Chubb, Denzel Ward, all winning rookie of the week after week. Last week, as a Browns fan watching it, I was in awe of the first six possessions. It went touchdown, 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 end of half, touchdown. Took the foot off the pedal thereafter, but an absolute joy to watch, and the defence continues to turn the ball over with regularity. The Texans on actually a much, much longer winning streak of 8 in a row following a win over the Titans on Monday night. Lamar Miller had a big night on the ground, ripped off a 97-yard run, and he does seem to be producing more as we head towards the playoffs. JJ Watt, he's certainly looking a bit more like his old self. He's got double-digit sacks on the year, and the defence is certainly going to be the best one that Mayfield has seen for about a month now. Game's been picked for score, which shows its intrigue. I'm going with the Browns win. I'm handing over to Lee.
Yeah, so I got the Cardinals and the Packers. Both coming off losses last week. And teams probably heading in different directions. Cardinals in a true rebuild. I actually think wins at this point do them more harm than good. Traveling to Green Bay is never easy. They're hard to beat there. Although I do think that the Packers are probably one of the more overrated teams in the NFL right now. I think 4-6-1 probably accurately reflects how good that team is. And we will probably look back on these years and say they've wasted the best years of Rodgers' career behind a poor O-line at times and just not putting the talent around him. To be honest, I don't see a way that the Packers lose at home to the Cardinals. Yeah, and that's it. And I'm passing over to Chris for the Bears and Giants.
So I have the Bears and the Giants. I absolutely love the Bears and what they are doing. Even as a Browns fan, I can't help but just love everything about what Chicago are doing. It's almost like a throwback to when defense won new games. Obviously, this year seems to be an exception to that, where the high-scoring offenses are all the rage. But Khalil Mack, then the trade for him might be the trade of the century. The Bears are now riding it to the NFC North crown. They're going to get to the playoffs. They're going to pick up that win. And this week against the Giants, who quite simply need to ditch Eli. They've got a thing about keeping Eli, talking about keeping him again next year. Quite frankly, it's time to shut Kyle Letter in and just see what he's got. Fourth round pick, might not do anything, but surely you can't really get worse than what Eli has been producing in the last year. Bears to win in New York. Panthers and Buccaneers, give it a throw.
Cheers, mate. As you know, Panthers through and through. But we have to start looking at home and away records in this one. It's the one thing that all Panthers fans agree on. We are awful away from home. And the Bucs don't seem to be doing too bad at home. That's why I think it's going to play into their hands. Currently, we've got Funchess, Jackson and Julius Peppers all on IR. Now, that could possibly change, but currently that's not looking good for us with the defences appalling as what it is at the minute. Going off what you were saying about the Bears winning their defence, winning their games, the defence is losing our games week in and week out, and there's nothing the offence can do about it. The Bucs did take the 49ers to school last week, and they're only two games back on the Redskins in the wildcard race. They've got something to play for, so do we. But I just don't see, I can't really put a point on who's going to win this one at all. But yet again, McCaffrey will get about 10 touchdowns and win that one for us. Broncos and Bengals, Sean, all over to you.
Cheers, mate. So two teams coming into this, both with 5-6 records, but certainly trending in opposite directions. Great back-to-back wins for the Broncos in two games where they were certainly underdogs. The Bengals now lost 5 of the last 6. They are likely to get AJ Green back this week, but it will be Jeff Driscoll quarterback in the Bengals. Andy Dalton was placed on injured reserve this week following a thumb injury he picked up in last week's game against the Browns, which I may have already mentioned a couple of times. Bengals' offense isn't the issue, though. They rank 32nd in both total yards and points allowed defensively, so that's where their biggest issues lie. Denver, like I say, all of a sudden, a couple of big wins, and they look impressive. Philip Lindsay, as an undrafted free agent, is actually on pace to get the most yards by a running back coming out of the draft, not selected within the normal 7 rounds. Defensively, Von Miller's got 11 sacks, 33 overall for the team, and I certainly can see them extending that winning streak to 3 here this week. So I will take the Broncos. Lee, over to you again, mate.
So I've got my Dolphins playing at home against the Bills. This was a feisty matchup week 17 last year in Miami. 3 players got ejected, including Jarvis Landry, for fighting. These teams just don't seem to like each other, which is funny because for the past few years, neither of them have been very good. So, not really sure what that's all about. But the Dolphins played well at home. They're 4-1 this year. Their record under Adam Gase at home is superb. I think they only have about 4 losses. I need to check the stats on that. But I think they find a way to pull out a 1-score win at home. Again, got a side of my team. Can't stop the bias from coming through. And with that, I'll pass it over to Chris.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you there. I think the Dolphins do win. I have got the Colts at the Jaguars. Oh, two teams trending in opposite directions in the AFC South. The Colts couldn't be more exciting to watch. Andrew Luck, comeback player of the year, no doubt in my mind. Honestly, the Jags, about time they bench Blake Bortles. But firing the offensive coordinator at the same time, not really sure I get that. Either you fire one or the other. You can't really tell what you've got on either if you fire both of them. I'm going to go for a Colts win, quite clearly this week. I think there's an absolute golf in class. I think Andrew Luck is the man. I'm going to hand over to the for the Rams and the Lions to Rob.
Cheers, mate. Obviously, a sensible shout on anyone's guess would have to be the Rams. I don't see why anyone would expect anything different, to be honest with you. I think they're genuine Super Bowl contenders, along with the Chiefs. But I think all eyes, personally, they've got to be on Aaron Donald and his absolute legit case for MVP. Like I've said in other things, people lie. Stats don't lie. 14 and a half sacks, five games with at least two, three forced fumbles, and the list, it's absolutely endless for him. He's an integral part of that team, but he can't carry it. He can't carry that team to wins. To mention the Lions, I just really can't see them winning with Jones and Kerryon Johnson on IR. I just can't see any opportunity for him to gain anything from this. I know it's very detrimental to the Lions and the fans, but I think the Rams are absolutely going to walk all over them. I think next up, we've got 49ers at Seahawks. Sean, all yours, bud.
Cheers, mate. Used to be a massive rivalry game, not so much going into Sunday. Seattle found a way to snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat again last week. And San Francisco could only put up 9 measly points against what has been a terrible Buccaneers defense. I still personally have got Seattle down as a wild card team. I'm a huge fan of Russell Wilson. And last week, for a while, first time in a while, the Seattle ground game was kept quiet and Russell Wilson took over. If I was to read some of the names out on this offense, I've got David Moore, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson. None of these guys are what you would call big name talents, but Seattle seems to be finding a way week in and week out to get it done. In the last 7 weeks, Russell Wilson, 18 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions. That kid is playing at a high, high level. Last season, as we keep saying for San Francisco, quite impressed with Matt Breida, the running back. He's averaging about 6 yards a touch. So he's been a nice find for them. But ultimately, I see Seattle winning this one and pushing on towards that wildcard spot. I'm handing back over to Lee.
So I've got the Jets and the Titans. This is a later kickoff on Sunday. And again, another matchup of teams heading in opposite directions, really. The records, the Titans only have 2 wins more than the Jets, but it doesn't feel like it when you've seen the teams play. The Titans are still in the hunt for the playoffs. And the Jets are really heading towards that lower first round pick. Again, in true kind of rebuild mode. The rumours in New York are that Todd Bowles gets the sack. So I think, you know, wins again at this point do them more harm than good. And they need to build for next year's coach. See what they've got with the players they've got. The Titans, on the other hand, that the loss last week in Houston hurts them a lot. But with the playoffs on the line, I think they find a way to win at home. They've just been a little bit up and down, and they seem to win big. They seem to lose quite big as well. And so it just depends what team turns out. I just think at home, you've got to take the Titans. And with that, I'm passing on to Chris.
So talking about teams that are, well, we're developing a trend here, really. Teams heading in opposite directions might be the name of this podcast. This week, Chiefs against the Raiders. Oh, that's a horrible one for Raiders fans. The Chiefs are the most exciting team in the NFL. Maybe up there with the Saints and the Rams. Personally, I'd just take the Saints above them. Patrick Mahomes, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions this year. Derek Carr, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Those numbers are absolute miles apart. Tyreek Hill, I think, will be set for an absolutely huge week. And on the quarterbacks again, I think Derek Carr is fighting for his job. It's clear the Raiders are in rebuild mode. This is one heck of a rebuild. Let's hope that John Gruden's 10-year contract can somehow save them. Lee, I'm passing back to you for the Vikings at those Pats.
So both these teams had big divisional wins last week. This is actually the late Sky game, the 9:25 kickoff. So hopefully people will be able to see that. Foxborough is such a horrible place to go to. The Patriots are so good. I mean, they're so good everywhere. But this year, their weakness has been on the road. So I don't see a way that they get beat this week. Not in New England. And it's starting to get cold up there. So even the Vikings playing indoors, just don't know if that plays into it slightly. So, yeah, that's I take the Patriots at home. And I'm passing on to Rob for the Chargers and the Steelers.
Cheers, mate. Not a big fan of the Steelers after what they did to us a few weeks ago. honestly.
Join the fan club.
Exactly. But this game, I think it's going to be all-out war. I mean, I'm not too much of a fan of Big Ben anyway, but I think his comments in the week, if anyone's seen them, I don't think it's going to earn him any favours whatsoever in that locker room. Although he's probably naffed a few people off, I still think they're possibly going to scrape this one through. James Conner is playing out of his skin. This is the reason why I don't think the Bell saga has any impact on the franchise whatsoever. I've got to play the devil's advocate. I've got to see it from both points of view. The Chargers are second in the AFC West at the minute. They've crumbled a lot of big teams recently. I do want the Chargers to win, don't get me wrong. I really do, but I just cannot see it happening.
Okay. And now we hand over to Redskins and Eagles for Sean.
Yeah, so final game of the week, Monday Night Football, and what a difference a week can make. It looked like the Eagles were dead and buried, and now all of a sudden there is a realistic opportunity for them to actually get right back into contention in this division. They've got to play the Redskins twice, and have also got a match up with Dallas, so they need to start winning, and that needs to start now. But this is a good opportunity for them. Slow start out the gate last week, but big comeback win against the Giants. Run game was actually what got it done in the second half. And that, for me, is a big concern for the Eagles. The receivers really need to step up. Outside of Zach Ertz, they just don't seem to have a consistent receiving threat. Redskins themselves, desperate for a win. Obviously, their season is really hanging in the balance now, losing Alex Smith. We knew when it happened was going to be a crucial stage of the season. Colt McCoy looked exactly what he should have looked last week, which was rusty, a little bit unprepared. He was coming off a short week. So all things considered, you know, he was in a very, very unhelpful situation. But he will need to obviously bring his A game for the Redskins to stay competitive in what is always historically one of the tightest divisions. Generally, the last Sunday night football game of the season tends to be from the NFC East, and it's shaping up that way again as all teams are in play. I'll take Philadelphia to win this one and keep it really tight as we approach the playoff stretch.
And that wraps up nicely our on-the-clock segments. I'm going to cut off this end audio now and save this clip, so... Leave another 5 seconds.
Sorry, mate. I'll turn it on mute.
Now we move on to our article review. This week we've had a brilliant article written by Nathan declaring why Tom Brady is the GOAT. If you haven't checked out the article already, I suggest going pausing this podcast, going and reading it, because it's absolutely fantastic. I don't want to give too much away, but it really like punches towards the way Brady has pointed his whole life towards the NFL and football. I'm going to start by asking the inner division rival fan, Lee. What do you think about this? Do you think Tom Brady's the GOAT?
As Rob said earlier, the stats don't lie. So, I mean, it's hard to argue against it. But as a Dolphins fan, I'm going to do just that. Every time Tom Brady hasn't played, for whatever reason, whether it was the Achilles injury in 2008 or any game that he's just not played, which isn't many, to be honest, but other quarterbacks have come in and the team's not missed a beat. Now, if this was any other team with any other system, the quarterback would be crucified. It's a system quarterback. Alex Smith is plagued with, he's a system quarterback. He can only, do you know what I mean? He can only game manage. He can only do so much. But when Tom Brady comes in and wins all those games, he's great. That's fine. When Matt Castle comes in and still wins 10 games, it's not a reflection on the system. People seem to just gloss over his ability to just step in.
Did Matt Castle take them to the Super Bowl, though?
No, he didn't. But he did take them to the playoffs. There's not too many backup quarterbacks. I mean, you see when Aaron Rodgers gets replaced in Green Bay, the drop-off is phenomenal.
Yeah, I can get that point. I'm wondering, is Brady the man?
I'm just trying to play. I'm just playing devil's advocate a bit. I mean, the record is there. It speaks for itself. I mean, he's won the games, but I just think sometimes we need to credit the system a little bit as well. He's not played in another system. We've not seen him go out and
adapt.
Exactly. Play that way in another team in a new system, like Peyton Manning did.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially regards to Peyton. I think Rob's going to probably agree with a lot of what you're saying.
Well, definitely. I've got to be on Team Lee, 100%. I don't like him. Not Lee, Tom Brady.
Can we get a T-shirt?
No one likes Lee. I really don't like Tom Brady whatsoever. I think he's arrogant, and I think he knows he's won as many Super Bowls. But I think deep down, just like Lee said, and like I think he knows he's won the Super Bowls with his team. If you put Tom Brady in, put him in our team right now in the Panthers, he's not going to win. He's not going to win a raffle. You know what I mean? If he didn't have Gronk, if he didn't have Edelman, if he didn't have any of the other teams, if he didn't have Belichick above him, he wouldn't have won any of that. He has found himself in a great position around a great team, but I don't think he'd have won half as many things as what he has won if he didn't have that team around him.
I'm going to have to disagree, Rob. I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to say, who has he ever thrown to? His top receiver in his first Super Bowl that he played and won was Troy Brown. Troy Brown got one Pro Bowl elsewhere in the NFL, one Pro Bowl in his NFL career in New England. Not a top receiver. Who did Tom Brady beat in that Super Bowl in terms of quarterbacks? Kurt Warner. Who would Amendola, Edelman, James White, would they have any success outside of New England? Lee, has Amendola flashed anything in Miami so far?
I think he's done what he's been brought in to do. I don't think he's a number one receiver. I wouldn't go out and pay him a lot of money, but that's not what the Dolphins did. It's not what the Patriots did when they took him from St. Louis. Well, was St. Louis. But, I mean, they're all serviceable. I think I'm probably leaning on the side of Belichick is the GOAT rather than Brady. I mean, would the Patriots be improved if Aaron Rodgers was put in there?
I think same. I think they'd stay exactly the same.
Okay, so if you could take any other coach from the league and replace Bill Belichick, would they be the same?
I think it might be a match made in heaven. I think they're possibly, they both complement each other to the point where success is always going to happen when you've got that partnership. You take one out and the other will probably fail. And I mean, the way Brady, I mean, go back to Nathan's article, I guess, and bring this full circle here before Sean jumps in, is the way Brady works for everything is just so damn impressive. I don't think there's anybody else like him like that. And I think that is what separates him and is the reason why he's got those five Super Bowl rings and, say, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees hasn't. Because you can argue Drew Brees has got just as good a coach in Sean Payton as Brady's got in Belichick.
Well, yeah, you can call it that. To be honest, before I start getting lots of people hating on me on Twitter, I am quite a bit bitter of Tom Brady. He is an amazing quarterback. I've got to hand him that. As I said, Lee said, stats don't lie. Tom Brady has literally won NFL. He's won the NFL. He's done everything a quarterback needs to do and then more. You can't outdo Tom Brady. For me, cue my Twitter inbox going absolutely mental, I don't think the fans do any justice to him, to be honest. If you ask anyone, honestly, if you ask anybody that's slightly remotely watched a bit of NFL, or they call it American football, I'm a Pats fan. All right, okay, who's your favourite player? Oh, it's Brady. All right, okay, well, tell me another player on that Pats team. I don't know, to be honest. What stadium do they play in? I don't know. It's like supporting Man United and just saying that you support it and wear a Pogba shirt. It don't work for me. It doesn't work.
There's no one there, Mr. 69 himself, Gronkowski.
Well, I'm not arguing with you, Chris.
Sean, is there anything you want to say about Brady and Nathan's article?
I think Nathan's article probably hits the nail on the head. Realistically, this shouldn't be a debate. If you actually were to look at Tom Brady, the quarterback, he shouldn't be in consideration. If you were to look at the sort of stereotypical heights, arm strength, mobility in today's day and age, there are several quarterbacks playing today that you would argue are better individually in a lot of those aspects than what Brady is. Collectively, however, over a long period of time, he certainly has the record to, sort of suggest that he should be the only one in this conversation. For me, I'm not a huge believer in wins being a quarterback stat. A lot of people say that, look at this winning record. He's won 5 Super Bowls. The NFL is quite possibly the single biggest example of a team sport. If I take a more recent example, you take the Browns, Chris, that you and me have been watching over the last few weeks. Baker Mayfield all of a sudden looks like an amazing quarterback. If you look at the last 3 weeks, he's hardly been touched. He's hardly had any pressure. That's thanks to the offensive line in front of him. Any quarterback can look better with a better offensive line in front of them. And, to say that the quarterback has won this game or, the quarterback has won this Super Bowl, yes, he gets some credit for it. He probably does deserve more credit than anybody else on the roster to some extent. However, he can only do his job the same as the other 10 guys on the field at the time can do theirs. So for me, I think, he certainly is in the conversation. I think, the name for me that always gets sort of, disregarded is one that you've actually just mentioned there, which is Drew Brees. I can only speak really from what I've seen. I wasn't watching the NFL when Joe Montana was around and John Elway and some of the other incredible names, and I'm sure some of the older listeners and, viewers of the content that we put out there will have a view on some of the older generation of quarterbacks. One thing for me that I noticed when doing a little bit of research ahead of tonight was, completion percentage and things like that in today's day and age is just skyrocketed from what it used to be. So the guys today, yes, the rules are being relaxed to favour the offensive guys, but, the accuracy level is far superior to what it ever was. But Drew Brees is a guy playing in the same era as Tom Brady. He doesn't have the 5 Super Bowl rings, but, he has got the most passing yards ever thrown by a quarterback in the history of the game. And that number is just increasing week by week by week as the Saints steamroller anybody in their way. The only person who's thrown more touchdown passes than Brees is Peyton Manning. Now, as it stands, as we are recording this tonight, he's 22 touchdowns away. Now, I wouldn't bet against him equaling that or bettering that record by the end of the season, the way that the Saints are playing. Drew Brees, for me, is a phenomenal quarterback. Now, whether he's the greatest of all time, I think that's a very subjective answer. And by its definition, there's no right, there's no wrong. I think Brady deserves to be in the conversation, absolutely. But I often also think that sometimes people make it too simple of an answer. And actually, we should all probably just take a step back and realise some of the absolute fantastic talent that's out there on display today. Out of the 10 quarterbacks all time with the most passing touchdowns, there are still, incredibly, 5 of those players actually active in the league today. Now, that shows you a shift towards offensive football, but that also shows you that it's not just Tom Brady that's got a fabulous work ethic. It's all those other guys. Quarterback's first guy in the room in the morning, last guy to leave at night. They're all masters of the craft. And there's some fabulous talent that we should all be appreciative of. I'm saying that as a Browns fan because I haven't had a good quarterback for 10 bloody years. So, we all should really be thankful for what is out there.
So would you go down the line of thought that Brady perhaps is more owing of his success to Belichick? Is that a fair comment to make, do you reckon?
I think Belichick deserves an equal amount of credit. You know, look, you know, it's like you take English football, you know, it's the manager that gets sacked if the team aren't playing well. In the NFL, you know, again, any head coach is going to look better with better talent around him and a better quarterback. You know, I think it's unfair to say that Brady is only that successful because of Belichick, and vice versa. You know, I don't think it's fair the other way around either. You know, they are a fabulous pairing. As a pairing, they've obviously got the most sort of wins as a head coach quarterback combo. And I don't think that will ever be beaten, if I'm honest. In today's day and age, I just don't think that will ever be beaten. So I wouldn't go that far. I think they both owe each other an awful lot for their success. And ultimately, you know, it'd be interesting to hear Patriots fans' views on it. I would imagine that the day that Brady hangs it up will also be the day that Belichick does as well.
Yeah, definitely. If one of the two go, they're both going to go. And then it's going to be a start of a little bit of a rebuild for the Patriots, I think.
They should never have got rid of Jimmy G, quite frankly.
Yeah, exactly. But straight back round to the article on the website, I mean, that article was extremely well written by Nathan. And for a lot of Patriots fans, it does nail up exactly what they all think of Tom Brady. He is an amazing quarterback. Stats don't lie. He has elevated his team. Belichick's done an amazing job with him and the team. I just don't like him.
So, final word on Brady. Are we ultimately all just a little bit jealous he's not our quarterback? Because as a Browns fan, I couldn't be more jealous of any other organisation, really, than Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah, I'd agree on that. And yeah, we've got Cam Newton, and I agree.
It's amazing what jealousy can do. Talking about teams I'm jealous of, we're going to move on and talk about an article we had submitted by Phil regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers. It focused on the hypotheticals and if they're actually a valid excuse for the Steelers right now. Really, really good article. It's great to see a new fan base sort of engage with us and start writing content, and we're happy to discuss that content on the pod. As a Browns fan, I naturally don't really like the Steelers, to put it kindly. And would they be better with Bell? Would they be better without Bell? Or is there deeper-rooted problems? I think there might be deeper-rooted problems. They had Bell last year. They had Antonio Brown last year. Still didn't get over the hump. Couldn't beat what was pretty average in terms of Patriots sides go from getting to the Super Bowl and representing the AFC. Has anybody else got any thoughts on the Steelers and Phil's article?
Yeah, I'll jump in, Chris. Similar to yourself, we obviously get to see the Steelers twice a year, being in the same division, and agree, you know, the article from Phil, excellent to see fans of other fan bases getting involved. One thing for me, and I suppose a question I'd like Phil to probably come back to us at some point and answer, is he's a record of 7-3-1 leading the division actually a crisis? You know, I would long for the days of the Browns at 7 wins at this stage of the season being in crisis. You know, they had a disappointing result last week. There's no doubt about that. I think everybody on this pod probably expected them to beat Denver last week, and it didn't happen. You know, but let's not think that was a terrible performance. They had over 500 yards of offense last week. They committed 4 costly turnovers. You know, I caught one play in particular where the guy was running into the end zone. I think the guy's name was Grimble, the tight end. He, you know, fumbles the ball on the 1 yard line. It goes through the end zone to give the Broncos the ball back at the 20. And there were other occasions throughout that game that Pittsburgh looked like they were going to get points. And then, like I say, it was self-inflicted wounds last week. I think if you look at their season overall, and I think I've alluded to this a couple of times through articles and when we've talked, they're often a franchise that seems to carry this sort of baggage around internally, but they seem to handle it better than anybody else in the league. And, you know, if you look at the stats for the year, you know, if you just go on sort of yardage stats as the most basic one, The Steelers offensively rank fourth in the league. They've actually got a higher rated offense in terms of yards than the Saints, as an example. You know, they're not having any difficulty moving the ball. Defensively, they're ranked sixth in terms of yardage. So again, defensively, they're holding up their end of the bargain. They're a very, very well-rounded football team, which, you know, annoys me as a Browns fan, and I'm still gutted from that week one draw when I felt that we probably deserved to win, or certainly could have won with a missed field goal in overtime. In fairness to the Steelers, they missed one also. It was a crazy game that particular day. But I don't think the Steelers are in crisis. But to answer the sort of question, would they be better with Bell? For me, it's an absolute categorical. Of course they would be. It's all hypothetical, so we will never know. But, you know, I don't see any reason why having arguably the best all-around running back in the league is going to do anything other than improve your team. Rob's just mentioned Connor's been playing some fabulous ball, and he has. You know, there's no doubt about that. You know, he's got 10 touchdowns on the year. You know, I think Phil alluded to that in his article. He's also got, you know, approaching 1,000 yards on the ground. Connor himself is playing fabulous stuff, but there's no doubt that Le'Veon Bell is going to be a better back. And there's no, you know, the crucial thing for me is there's absolutely no doubt that opposition defences will be game planning for him. If any of you follow Bucky Brooks on Twitter, he's quite passionate about this, and I think, you know, he's often been told that defences are specifically scheming to take Antonio Brown out of the Steelers' game plan and let Connor beat them. And last week, he was only handed the ball 14 times. Any running back's going to work better if they've got a big volume of carries. And for me, the Steelers need to get back to balance. You know, great that Ben threw for 450-odd yards or whatever ridiculous numbers he put up last week, but get back to a more rounded game plan offensively. The defence is fine. It always does absolutely fine. I'm still absolutely convinced come January that the Steelers are going to be in the mix. It's going to be tough in that AFC battle. They're likely to draw the Chiefs or the Patriots at some point in the postseason if they have got aspirations of the Super Bowl. So I wouldn't say that they're going to win the big one or even get to the big one. You know, but it's certainly, in my opinion at least, not a crisis at all.
Okay. Interesting enough, Phil in his article talked about a lot of what you just said there in terms of the rushing stats against the pass. Phil also mentioned the fact that they've got a better ball security in space, especially better ball security when it comes to approaching the goal line. I've not watched the Steelers in recent weeks, but that's not a problem they've had in recent years when I've watched them. If that's creeping in, it's got to be something that they have to got to eliminate when they go down the stretch. This week against the Chargers is going to absolutely be massive. Lee, do you have anything to say about the Steelers and Phil's article?
Yeah, I've got to agree that I don't think they're in crisis. I think this has probably become a bigger story and dragged on much longer with regards to Bell than it needed to. I don't think they've handled this situation well, but with regards to on the field, like you just said, I mean, a lot of people would love to be in crisis and have the same record as the Steelers. So, Ben does seem to be turning the ball over a little more. I've seen him a couple of times in the last few weeks, and I think, I mean, the game against the Jags are a team that haven't got many wins, but they're close to winning a lot of games. And I think, you know, if that goes the other way, then maybe it does look like the Steelers are in a lot of trouble. But so I think probably the biggest issue is that they let the Antonio Bell saga drag on and drag on, when it seemed pretty clear from the beginning that he had no intention of coming back to the team unless it was on his terms. And they seemed to make it very clear that they weren't going to meet those. So it just seemed they would have been better off wiping their hands of the situation and moving him on. Because that's ultimately what's going to happen, and they'll get nothing in return. So I just think it's not a crisis. I just think they've probably endured a little more than they have to, and now it's kind of behind them. They can move forwards and hopefully come right at the right time to stop the Patriots.
It's a fair statement. Rob, what about yourself?
Personally, firstly, I want to thank Phil for the submission of the article. It's one of the a more interesting article, personally, that I've read about a team that I don't genuinely tend to watch. But obviously, being a fan of the league, you can't have not have heard about this divorce, if you will, between Bell and the Steelers. Just touching on a little bit of what Sean said and what Lee said, I think the Steelers did actually handle this situation extremely well. I just think that Bell didn't. If he had every intention of not going back, he just did not want to go back. It's been years in the making. He's had beef with certain people and everything like that. And that's what I think the Steelers have done well. As soon as you get one player that starts hitting out at staff, hitting out at the franchise, at fans, at players, every single thing he's hitting out at, he's going to hit out straight back. The fans won't want him there. The players won't want to play. The coaches won't want to coach him. That's my mentality of the situation. And I think they've handled it quite well. It dragged out a bit longer than it should have done. But they've shut him down. Right, don't come practice. No problem. That's fine. We'll put Connor in your place. And to be honest, I don't think he's been missed, to be brutally honest. You're watching Connor grow and mould into, like, I'm going to have to say, a really good running back, but not the best running back in the league. But do you know what I mean? If anyone's got Twitter, which everyone's got, if you go on there and look at the video of the rest of the players raiding his locker, they were like a pack of animals. They took trainers, they took cleats, they took pads, they took shirts, they took everything, and they were laughing about it and joking on video. That if he came back, he's not going to be wanted at all. So
you can't trust those Steelers.
Well, you will say that though, because you don't like them.
that was absolutely brilliant. That should probably about do us this week. Has anyone got any final thoughts or social media they want to plug? Rob?
As always, give us a tweet or anything. The Twitter is @justrob13. Tweet me some hate, tweet me some questions, tweet me anything you want me to shout out on the podcast. I'm more than happy to do that. But more, like we touched on last week and obviously this week, submit articles, submit content, submit thoughts, feelings, whatever you want over on the website at all32.co.uk. We will be reading out more articles. We love digressing them and arguing amongst ourselves. It just seems to be what we do now.
But it's all part of the fun. Lee, what about yourself?
Yeah, just to echo the same thing. Keep writing the articles. They're fascinating to read. It's great to get other people's opinion, and it's okay to be biased. I'm happy to admit my bias, and I think it's fine to write articles like that. We're all fans. We know our team's better than anyone else, so keep those articles coming in and we'll keep debating them.
Couldn't agree more, and I say if you want to be biased, you go ahead and be biased, because if we're all just boring melons, then what's the point? Sean, what about yourself? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so on Twitter, it's @all32Sean. So echo what the other guys have said there in terms of articles into the site. We are certainly, you know, wanting to debate what you guys are submitting. You know, this is your podcast as far as we're concerned. We want to talk about what you guys want to hear about. So get your articles in, and we look forward to reviewing them same place, same time next week.
Brilliant. And of course, you can follow myself mainly on the All32 UK Twitter account, but more importantly, please just go and visit the website and view our fabulous content. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.